Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Off and rolling. Happy Friday, November 14th, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on @G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on @CDunning929. Connor, you have a big weekend ahead of you.
I do have a big weekend.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, turning 31 tomorrow.
Okay, old ass.
And I have a neck injury from sleeping.
From sleeping?
I think so.
Okay. You sure?
I think so.
No other?
Hey, man.
You know, it happens. Sometimes I wake up. One time I twisted my ankle in my sleep.
I mean, I have it. I genuinely have it. I've been doing 3-point turns to turn around.
Yeah.
Since yesterday.
Is it more left or right?
Left.
Okay.
It's rough, dude.
Plans for tomorrow, though?
I have plans for tomorrow, but I don't know what the plans are. But everybody in my life knows what these plans are. So I feel like I'm being Truman Showed constantly. Good friend of the program, our number one resident Chargers fan, Isaiah, is putting on an Oscar-winning performance because I know that Bree set stuff up with people, and I know that he had to have been involved, but he is pretending as if he has no idea that anything's going on tomorrow, and I think it's sending me into a psychosis.
Did you tell me before the show that you're going to have to be blindfolded at one point?
I'm being blindfolded at some point tomorrow.
They're not keeping a secret very well, then.
Well, but I don't know where I'm going.
If you have to be blindfolded, that usually leads to sort of one end result, and that's some type of surprise party.
Well, right? I don't know where we're going. I don't know the venue. I don't know any of that, but I'm very excited. I have a very relaxing day planned for tomorrow, having dinner with the family tonight. Can't wait. And then Sunday, I am planning to be in bed all day, hungover.
Oh, okay. That's a good plan.
Great.
You
plan.
Get to sleep in.
I get to sleep in, which I do not get to do much now.
I have a plan for tomorrow too, for your birthday.
Okay.
Calling the MAAC Mississippi Community College championship. Northwest Mississippi versus Mississippi Gulf Coast. That'll be a good one. Maybe a little rusty. I haven't been an analyst on a game since 2021. Probably. Should be a good time, though.
You'll do great.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm excited for it. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. Plenty to get to. We'll start on Grizzlies because we have two former Grizzlies, what do we call it, Connor? Taking shots? Is that just the way to put it? At the organization for the way they were treated on the way out. Marcus Smart and Dylan Brooks.
I took Dylan's less of shots at the – we'll talk about it. I took Dylan's less of a shot and more
break,
of a
– We're gonna break these both into two.
One of them, though, is definitely some sour grapes.
Yes. I think they're both sour grapes.
Both are probably a little sour grapes. I think one might be a little bit more sour than the other.
And then I have a takeaway from Thursday Night Football. That's worth discussing. Last night, there was a contrast in that game. I won't tell you. I won't ruin it for you. But there was a contrast at a certain position on the field.
I wonder what that could possibly be.
Exactly. I think people, if you watch that game, you understand where I'm going with that. Trip around the NFL will be at 4:30. Then we start with the guests at 5. David Cobb will join, talk about Week 12 of the college football season, a little bit of college basketball as well. Tigers have a game coming up on Sunday against UNLV, who's 1-2 with losses that I can't really explain. But Josh Pastner making his way back. How do you think he'll be received, right? People like him.
He should be received well. Should be.
I don't think he'll get booed. No, but I don't think I don't think he's going to get some overwhelming, you know, round of applause, standing, busting the roof off.
It won't be a five-minute ovation. Right. But I think that people will clap for him. And the Pastner years were good years that never reached the height that you wanted them to. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the teams were good. They were exciting. The recruiting classes were great.
And you know what? Here's the main talking point. He was a good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy. 5:30, Lee Sterling will join to talk about the picks he has for the weekend. We'll make you some money there. He's from Paramount Sports. Go to ParamountSports.com, and he will give out a free pick for his game of the week. You're just going to have to be one of the first five callers, and he will give that away for free. So make sure you stay tuned for that if you want to make some money this weekend. And then 6 o'clock, a lot to discuss with Parker Fleming. I to be honest, with the way it's going for the Grizzlies, I don't know which direction Parker's going to go with the conversation today. He's usually a very positive guy, but it's hard to stay positive with what we've seen lately.
I can tell you from the conversations I've had with Parker, which is almost daily about the Grizzlies or the NBA, it's probably the most frustrated I think he's ever been with a team. It's what all of us have been saying on the station this for the last 2 weeks. It feels the most dreadful I think that it ever has watching the Grizzlies. There is very little joy in watching the Memphis Grizzlies right now. And to be honest with you, the only thing that was bringing me a lot of joy was Cedric Coward. And Gabe, as soon as we started the show, guess what? Guess who's doubtful now for tomorrow's game with right foot soreness?
You're kidding me.
Cedric Coward.
How long ago?
4:01. Happy birthday to me, man. Questionable likely, Zach Edey.
This likely would have been his first start with KCP.
Yes.
What's KCP's status?
KCP is not on the – he's not on the injury report. So here, I'll just give it to you fully. Questionable Zach Edey, Omax Prosper, doubtful Cedric Coward, out BC, Ty Jerome, Scotty, Javon.
Okay. All right. Relatively normal. Hopefully we get to see Zach Edey.
That would be great.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be great.
How much is he going to fix, though, in all reality?
He'll fix some, but not everything.
I think he'll help Ja. I think the rebounding battle will be easier to win.
They've been better at rebounding than expected, but they get blown out by
But we
really
talked about
teams.
It yesterday. Even though he's a screen assist guy, even though he can get you extra chances, the floor is still not spaced like it should be.
No, that's where
and
Ty Jerome.
He doesn't help there.
Yeah, Ty Jerome will help there.
Yeah, for sure. And when Cedric Coward gets more reps and gets more minutes and gets in the starting lineup, that could potentially help. All right, now, I want to open on the Grizzlies because we have a couple of former players taking their shots in their own way. I think we need to break it up because it's not the same thing that's being said. We'll start with Marcus Smart. There was an article for Clutch Points, and he had an exclusive sit-down there, and he talked about what the Grizzlies front office was telling him before he was traded last year at the trade deadline. Now, Connor, you and I didn't necessarily like the timing of the trade. It felt like you were giving up on the season, sort of balking at the idea of competing.
Right.
And ultimately, they fell off the map. They also traded Jake LaRavia then to the Kings, and we see what Jake LaRavia is now. It just does not look like that was a move worth making, and you know, picking up the option probably would have been the best decision.
Correct.
Jake LaRavia would be producing on this team.
He's been
NBA player.
Good this year.
But Marcus Smart said that the front office told him that he didn't want to be there. And he mentioned that he was injured. He felt like it was a low blow. He went on to say, I'm here every day working my ass off. And he said, you see what's going on now, talking about the Grizzlies. That started with me. You know, losing their identity, losing their edge, what have you. Now, with Marcus Smart, I never really felt like he was bought in to being a Grizzly. Now, some of that was, you know, he ran into some issues health-wise with his age, didn't get on the court enough. Jalen Wells took his spot last year in the starting lineup because Jalen Wells was playing really well when he was off the floor. But it never felt like Marcus Smart was fully bought into helping this team along, making them take that leap, even though when he was traded for, that was the idea. You have another perimeter defender to replace Dylan Brooks, who we'll get to in a second. He's the other guy who took a shot at the Grizzlies organization. But Marcus Smart came into both of the camps a little bit overweight. He didn't give you much on the offensive end. He was still solid defensively. But, you know, it just never felt like he was really buying into being in Memphis and being a Grizzly. And then you had the Jaylen Brown thing on Instagram where Jaylen Brown said he doesn't even mess with y'all. So we sort of bought into that and we were, you know, questioning as Jaren, you know, was lifting up Marcus Smart, and that was the response Jaylen Brown gave to him. But, you know, what's your reaction to Marcus Smart doing this sit down, saying that the Grizzlies treated him the wrong way on the way out, and he put his best foot forward. He tried to put his best foot forward. I never felt that way.
I never felt that way either. I can hold two opinions. One, I do think the Grizzlies gave up on the Marcus Smart thing too early and at the incorrect time. But Marcus Smart never gave it his all for the Grizzlies in terms of just being in shape. That's really all that I can point to. I think that when he played, he gave effort and he did help the Grizzlies win some basketball games, but he wasn't on the floor consistently enough because he came in every offseason out of shape. Mm-hmm. And he was having to work his way back into shape, and then he would get hurt. And it never really worked here. I was excited when Marcus Smart got traded for. I thought that it was going to be a great move for the Grizzlies.
We played Creed that day.
We absolutely played Creed that day. And it just didn't work out. And they gave up a good bit for him. I still think it was worth the shot for what they were trying to do. You needed veteran leadership. You needed a gritty defender. And he, you know, on paper was able to provide that for you. But he was never healthy. So he was never playing. I think that Marcus Smart, in my opinion, is more upset with the Celtics than he is the Grizzlies. And I think he's taking out some of his frustration toward the Celtics on the Grizzlies. Because he was always, always upset that they gave up on him and moved him and then won a championship.
Yes.
We cannot ignore that is part of the reason he was so down in Memphis. Because he was moved off of a team that was on the precipice of winning an NBA championship that he had given a decade to. He was the heart and soul of those teams. And the year they trade him, they win a championship. So, of course, he's salty. I understand that. But he wasn't giving maximum effort for the Grizzlies, and they gave up on him too early. Both of those things can be true at the same time.
Yes, but it feels like sour grapes. He's in a different situation. Feels like a bit of an unnecessary shot, considering what
it was
we
unnecessary.
Know and what we saw from Marcus Smart. Now, Dylan Brooks last night. Now, Dylan Brooks has a tendency to be a bit of a front runner. I think we've learned that over the years. When he is playing well, he talks a lot more trash. When he's not, he
dropped 32 last night.
But he dropped 32 on 12 for 18 shooting, 3 for 7 from 3. And he was talking about the last time he didn't have confidence in his shot. He said it was in the playoff series against the Lakers when he was with the Memphis Grizzlies. And I don't know if I believe this, but I don't know if it's out of the realm of possibilities. He says GM Zach Kleiman walked up to him before the series, before one of the games, and said, "You only need to shoot 6 shots." So he lost his confidence because of that. That's what he's trying to sell us. One, let's just go back to that series. Here were his field goals attempted. You ready? 13, 14, 13, 11, 15, and 11. And he was never efficient. I guess he was 5 for 13 one night. That's the most efficient he was in the entire series. That's 38.5%. But then you look at his three-point attempts, 2 for 9, 2 for 6, 1 for 5, 1 for 7, 2 for 10, and 2 for 5. And, you know, I think what Zach Kleiman, if he did say that, said is what we were all thinking at the moment. Dylan, you're shooting us out of games. You shot us out of, it felt like that Warrior series the year before where he put up, you know, 13 shots, 19, 13, and 28. Now, that was without John Morant. He needed to pick up some of the slack offensively, so he took it upon himself to get up as many shots as possible. This one feels more possible. I have two thoughts. One, he had a good night last night, so he's willing to talk his trash.
Sure.
And two, if Zach Kleiman did say that before the game. That feels like a coach thing. A coach.
Yeah, not his place. Not his place.
Not a GM.
No.
Not a GM in any way, shape, or form.
No.
So if this did happen, which seems very plausible and possible, that is a frustrating reality. You don't need a GM inserting himself and you know, telling a player to take only a certain amount of shots, because that could lead to a lack of confidence in a playoff series. And we saw how he shot in that series. It was very, very poorly.
Yeah, it is. That is not Zach Kleiman's place. That is what a coach needs to do. I don't think that GMs really need to be talking to players before playoff games or playoff series. Just let them be. Let them be. You don't want to throw them off their game at all. Now, Dylan Brooks in that Lakers series, a lot of the issues were more about his comments than his play on the court. He was asked to have a bigger role because of some of the injuries, and that's one of the reasons he was taking more shots. That whole season was funky. He was asked to take more shots because of injuries. I have mixed feelings about Dylan Brooks and him no longer being a Grizzly, because I do think when they parted ways, it was the right decision. Mm-hmm. But since they have parted ways, it does feel like
they haven't had the same edge.
An identity, a culture, the defense has gone down. And listen, I get it. DB shot you out of some basketball games. DB did some dumbass things on the court. He would do flagrants. He would hurt guys. There was a trade-off. But that guy, no one works as hard as that dude does. Nobody. He wants to win above all else. You heard Devin Booker say, he has said this season a couple of times, no, I've never seen anybody work as hard as Dylan Brooks. Mm-hmm. He helps establish a culture wherever he goes. One of the reasons the Rockets have the culture they do now, Dylan Brooks. That he is one of the reasons they do. He's had a good season this year for the Suns. And it's a mixed feeling, because I think that the Grizzlies and Dylan Brooks kind of outgrew each other, but at the same time, they haven't been able to really replicate him or replace him
also,
in any way.
I don't know.
There was just an edge.
I don't know if the rebuild moves along as fast without the edge and the identity and the culture that Dylan Brooks
provided.
No, he was
necessary.
He was necessary to get guys to buy into defense, to get guys to buy in to being a bully, you know, to showboat a little bit, have some fun out there. Like, he brought that, and we don't have to hide it. The Grizzlies have not had that same edge since he left.
Right.
They've tried to replace him in multiple different ways, mostly just basketball-wise. Cedric Howard, Jalen Wells, but those guys don't have that same identity. They don't have that same, you know, get-after-your-ass ability. So, I have, like you said, mixed feelings about Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Now, to tie both these together, these were guys that have a reason to be upset with the Grizzlies. So I don't necessarily take it all that serious from an organizational standpoint. Even though they're both going after, you know, the front office and the way the Grizzlies handle business, I don't really take it that serious. Because talk to Kyle Anderson. Talk to DeAnthony Melton, talk to Steven Adams, talk to guys who don't necessarily have a reason to be upset with this organization, and then I'll be able to figure it out. If they say the same things, yes, there's a problem from the top down. But these two guys have a reason to be upset. And you usually don't hear guys that were traded off or you know, that an organization let walk, like in Dylan Brooks' case. He clearly wanted to stay, and they just let him walk off to the Rockets. But guys like that usually don't have nice things to say about the organization that they're leaving.
Yeah, I think that Marcus Smarts are a bit more salty. Dylan, I still think, from just kind of the things he has said, I think that he still looks fondly at his time in Memphis. I think that it ended poorly. It ended in a rough way.
And then the Shams report.
The Shams nasty. Report, yes, that was a bit nasty. But he wanted too much money. They couldn't give him that money. They couldn't give him the money wanted.
If they wanted to, you know, keep John Morant for the long haul,
yeah,
and sign Desmond Bain and Jaren, all that, they just...
They couldn't.
It was $90 million he got from the Rockets.
Yeah, they couldn't give him... The Grizzlies couldn't give him that type of money. It wasn't feasible. So I'm glad that Dylan was able to go somewhere and get his money and still compete. And then it was time for the Grizzlies to move off of him. But you did lose a lot when you lost him. I get it, man. He wasn't an efficient player sometimes on the court. He could be a head case on the court. He could be a headache off the court with his comments, and he could poke in the bear and all that crap. But that guy worked hard, and he kept people accountable, and he was a great defender for you. And every once in a while, he'd pop off for 32. But he played every night. That's mm-hmm. like the thing is, he was there every night, and he was going to play, and you could rely on that.
Up by 10, down by 10, same intensity.
Right, same intensity every time. It would go too far sometimes, no doubt about it. But you did lose something when you lost Dylan Brooks. But that also doesn't mean that it was a massive mistake to let him walk. It was just you haven't been able to replicate it. And unfortunately, one of the guys that you've been depending on to replicate that, and Jalen Wells, just hasn't had a good year. Just hasn't had a good year at all. And he doesn't have that edge that Dylan has. But it wasn't just you losing Dylan Brooks that made you lose that culture. You lost Steven Adams. You lost Melton. You lost Tyus. You lost Kyle Anderson. You lost a lot of veteran players who were professional and knew how to be in the NBA and knew how to show up on defense and show up in that locker room. And they just don't have that right
well,
now.
Well, the decision-making to triple down, quadruple down, quintuple down youth. On youth yeah. was, you know, that's why you don't have that same edge is the vets that were here. They knew how to play ball. They knew how to work within a team structure.
Yeah.
And again, you had the one guy in Dylan Brooks who could set the tone for you every night.
Right.
Against any team in the NBA. You have a bunch of young guys that are trying to grow at the same time, and that doesn't always look pretty.
No.
Along the way.
No, but at the same time, it's, you know, the guys who have been in the league.
And the thing is, if you want to go, and I see this all the time, if you want to go after Zach Kleiman's decision-making after Dylan Brooks was, they let him walk and all that happened, that's fine. But I still look back at that, and most people understood that it was time to move on. To move in a different direction.
Yeah, I think that there are reasons to criticize Zach Kleiman. I don't know if this is one of them.
And Dylan Brooks, with the emergence of Ja and Jaren as an offensive player, and then Desmond Bane in year two, the
Correct.
Lead he took, Dylan couldn't necessarily accept, hey, you're fourth or fifth on the scoring ladder here. You have to defer to these other three guys a little bit more. And they're younger than him, and he had shown some ability. Like, I get why he didn't want to defer, and he wanted to take his shots because he had shown, hey, we can win a playoff series with me being a second or third guy. But it grew in a different way, and he couldn't quite accept his role off.
Well, and we have to be honest about this too. Taylor Jenkins couldn't reel him in.
Yeah.
It was one of Jenkins' failures as a coach, is that he couldn't control Dylan Brooks in the way that he needed to. And
can anyone reel him in?
Ime
a bit.
No, Ime did. I mean, he did. He took a career low in shots. He had the most efficient seasons he's had in the NBA when he was in Houston. He wasn't a head case. You didn't hear about it's Ime reeled him in, and he was effective for him and a good player for Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. But stylistically, I've thought about this. It feels like Dylan Brooks is that...
Like, Dylan shot 39% from three last year.
Dylan is that piece for a younger team that can lead, that can help you get buckets, that can help your team learn how to compete. And then eventually, when he can't quite accept his offensive role, he moves on. That's why the Rockets decided to do what they did. Now, granted, they went and got Kevin Durant.
That's why.
Using him.
Yeah, that's why.
But that's sort of the story of his career. Like, you know, used up for, you know, getting to a certain point, and then the team moves off.
I guess the sin of the Grizzlies could have been not getting real value back for Dylan, but and the Rockets did. But, I mean, we know that the Grizzlies pursued trades, and I'm sure he was involved in. They tried to get Kevin Durant. I would be surprised if Dylan wasn't involved in one of those deals. But it's
would have been a sign and trade of some sort, right?
Yeah.
If you were going to, you know, get something out of it.
Right.
But
I'm also saying, the times we knew they were pursuing people.
And it's kind of funny. We talk about sign and trades like they're easy to execute.
No, they're difficult.
They're difficult.
Well, because you have to
because they're off contract. They're going to be a free agent.
Well, they also have to agree to go to the team that you're going to sign and trade them to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that team has to have a contract all figured out, their money situation figured out. We talk about it like, hey, you get value out of every player that you have. It's not that easy.
No. But I think without a doubt, his two best seasons in the league was when he was with Houston, and it's because he had Ime. Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't taking as many shots.
No, but I think it's because Udoka was like, if you want to play 30 minutes, you're taking 10 shots.
Did Ime say, hey, only take 6 shots in these
games? No, he said take 10.
Do you buy that Zach Kleiman did that?
Yes.
I do too.
I very much buy that.
Yeah, which not his place.
Not his place.
I hope he has learned from that. All right, now Thursday Night Football last night. Jets at Pats. Pats end up covering. I gave you that pick at the end of the show. 27-14. It was a 12.5 point line. But the Patriots, man, that is a good, good team. They were second in my power rankings this week. They are an NFL best 9-2. They clinched their first winning season in 4 years. And I will say this to Mike Vrabel, just as clear as possible. I know you tried to come into the season with Ramondre Stevenson as your starter and lead back, and you wanted to do it by committee. Travion Henderson is your lead back, man. He's got 4 touchdowns in the last 2 games. When you have put him in that role, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, 5 catches for 31 yards. Obviously, he didn't find a bunch of running room between the tackles and off tackle last night using his offensive line, but still 60-some-odd yards on nearly 20 carries. He got some tough yards, and he falls forward. You know, he's not a guy who tries to dance in the backfield and gets tackled for losses all the time. So, you know, if you have been waiting for Travion Henderson to pop in fantasy like me, you're going to see that. You're absolutely going to see that. He is a damn good player, very versatile. And Vrabes, I don't know what he was doing the whole year. Why? We saw enough in preseason. First touch of his preseason debut was a kick return for a touchdown. You know he's an exciting player. Vrabes is a smart guy. I'm sure he's got it figured out at this point, but it took way too long for Travion Henderson to be the feature back, to be featured in this offense.
I'm going to ask you, it's going to be a crazy transition from what you just said to the question I'm about to ask you, because I agree with everything that you just said, but Vrabel Coach of the Year?
Yeah. I think he's tracking. NFL best, 9-2 at this point.
8 straight.
And they're not slowing down.
No, they're getting better.
Defense looks good.
Now, their schedule's awful.
Yeah. But they're one of the best teams in the NFL, and we have to treat
yes.
them like that.
Yes.
They can win tough games. They can win tough games. Now, to my overarching point about last night's game, the quarterback battle, Drake May versus Justin Fields, I've watched a lot of football so far this year, college football, NFL. That was the most stark contrast of quarterbacking that I have ever seen, that I've seen this season. But I don't know. I mean, I'd have to think on it a little bit more. Might be the most stark contrast of my lifetime, to be completely real with you. Drake May, his internal clock is great. He can move out of the pocket. He can feel pressure. His pocket movement in general, without breaking it, he just knows when to step up, knows when to step to the right and left. He's just comfortable back there. That was my question after his final year at North Carolina. Is he going to be able to? Because he relied on his legs a lot that final year, and maybe it was coaching and offensive coordinator and game plan. But I was wondering if he wanted to just make plays off platform constantly, or he could do what he did his sophomore year and stick in the pocket and throw the ball a little bit more. But his eyes are great. The ball placement is phenomenal. His anticipation, reading the defense, seeing how the defense is layered, he can anticipate throws really well for a second-year quarterback. But the big quality that continues to show itself is he's got a feel for the game, and he's level-headed, and it's consistent. In the NFL, you could have quarterbacks that, boom or bust. I remember Jay Cutler was like this back in the day for the Chicago Bears, where one game he's coming out throwing for 300 yards. Next game he has a 40% completion percentage, throws 3 picks. Solid quarterback, but the consistency was never there. With the game plan, being in tune with his receivers, understanding what he needed to do on any given down, audibles, all that. So Drake May was phenomenal, and he continues to show that he's an MVP candidate. On the other side, Justin Fields. He is a bad mystery box. He is. He's relying on his legs. His internal, clock is off. He tries to break the pocket way too fast. that fumble that he had on the drop snap, that was his 48th fumble. 48th since 2021. 48th. That is insane. That is a crazy rate. That's the most, obviously, of any player in the NFL. And what bothers me is he can make throws, but he generally doesn't. He can create chunk plays, explosive plays, but he generally doesn't. And the biggest contrast, I mentioned Drake May, he's level-headed, consistent. You know what to expect down to down. You have no understanding of what a play or a down is going to look like with Justin Fields at quarterback. The difference in outcome, it lives on the poles. He's nowhere in the middle. That's nowhere to be found. For him, like, I asked myself the question, is he going to lead your team directly down the field to start the game like he did last night? Or is he going to drop a snap in crunch time when you have a chance to cut the game to a one-score game and then struggle to pick up the ball like you lost a contact? You know, like, you're going to see both of those every single game from Justin Fields. I'm on the edge of my seat watching him. I've watched him a couple times. Watched him last year with the Steelers, and that system's a little bit different where you hand the ball off a little bit more run heavy, so it's easier. But I'm on the edge of my seat since he's been playing for the Jets in the worst possible way. And I got to thinking about this. And I think this is why Justin has gotten so many chances. And clearly there's something to it because he's a $20 million per year quarterback in this league. He got a two-year, $40 million deal with the Jets. But because he has those good plays, because you see some positive every once in a while, on a certain down, makes a good throw, you know, scrambles for a, you know, first down, beating angles from linebackers and safeties. Folks can't give up on him. Folks cannot give up on the Justin Fields dream, but I'm here to tell you, and granted, he hasn't been in the best situations ever to showcase his talent or to be brought along by coaches, you know, with Nagy, Eberflus, moving on to, you know, that system with Arthur Smith doesn't really fit him. Now with the Jets, first-year coach, hadn't had great situations. But I'm here to tell you, I have fully given up on the Justin Fields dream. He's not a good quarterback. He can be a backup, serviceable backup. But we have got to stop with the idea that he's going to be a productive starter in the.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This league going forward. It's over to me.
It feels like his destiny is a serviceable backup who can give you big time plays every once in a while when you need him to give you a different look in a game. Because when you watch him play, you see why people don't give up on him. Yeah. Every once in a while, he makes
profile,
that throw or he breaks a run.
He's got
like,
a good arm.
There it is.
He can place the football.
Yeah.
He can do the things that it takes to be a franchise starter in the NFL, but he doesn't do them consistently.
Right.
And it's down to down. It's drive to drive. It's, you know, game to game. It's all of it. You do not know what to expect. Like I said, he is a bad mystery box. And seeing him next to Drake May, that quarterback battle, it couldn't have been more obvious.
Right.
Now let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day. When we come back, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, we will get to a trip around the National Football League headed into Week 11. The National Football League. Connor, hit it. Okay, so the Broncos and Chiefs play in an AFC West tilt. How about it? But we know that the Broncos are leading that division right this second, and the Chiefs have not been pacing the season all that well, even though we do believe in them. They've gotten better since Rashee Rice came back, Xavier Worthy staying healthy, Travis Kelce is playing a whole lot better because of the attention I believe that those two are taking away from him. Defense, still a little bit of a question mark, although Spags, he'll figure it out. Just don't ask him to go interview for any head coaching positions. But for this game, Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites on the road, and Broncos, injury list, not great. Not great. J.K. Dobbins, leading rusher, out with a foot injury. Pat Surtain, former defensive player of the year, last year's defensive player of the year, best corner in the league, out with a pec injury. Alex Singleton, you know, the cancer diagnosis, got a surgery, so he's going to be out. He's a normal, you know, rotational linebacker. And then Jonah Ellis, their leading tackler, is out with a hamstring injury. I am of the opinion, and I want yours as well, Connor. I'm of the opinion, even though it'll be played in Denver, defense still good, even though they got these injuries, I think that this is the moment where we slow down our roll on the Broncos. And I know people have been very, very hesitant because of the offense's inconsistency, Bo Nix and his play. I know people have been hesitant already, but I feel like the Chiefs are going to lay it on them on the road. That's what I'm feeling like.
I don't know if they'll lay it on them, but I do think the Chiefs are going to win. And it'll, at the very least, be a pause on the Broncos. I still think the Broncos are a good football team, though.
Yeah, they're a good football team, and they're going to be a scary team by the time we get to the playoffs because of the defensive ability. And, you know, it gets cold. You don't want to get hit as much, and they have a lot of guys that can really lay the boom. But the Chiefs, I it's funny because Broncos are sitting there at 7-8-2. Chiefs have lost some nasty games that we didn't expect them to lose. Lost to the Bills, who just followed that up the next week with a loss to the Dolphins. But I still think the Chiefs are the class of that division. I still think the Chiefs are better than them. And if it came down to, you know, wild card spot, Broncos win the division and they played and matched up in the playoffs, like, I have Chiefs 100 times out of 100. And I think this weekend with all the injuries, it's just going to be really hard for the Broncos to overcome. Also worth mentioning, Chiefs still, they got that first place schedule. They got Broncos on the road, Colts at home, at Cowboys, Texans, Chargers. I mean, they're not going to get a break until week 16 when they play on the road against the Titans. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how this all paces itself out. It's going to be interesting. Ravens. John Harbaugh has said Lamar Jackson, who missed some practice time this week due to a sore knee, is a full go for this Sunday's game against the Browns. I think the Ravens are going to win this division so long as Lamar Jackson stays on the field. The leader right now in the clubhouse is the Steelers at 5-4, and the Ravens have rattled off 3 straight wins, and they are 4-5. They are the heavy favorite to win that division, even though they started 1-5. And their defense, I don't know if I trust them, but they're getting better. They're getting better slowly but surely. Zach Orr, their DC, is starting to learn how to use them week to week. But am I crazy for being concerned about Lamar Jackson against that Browns defense? This is what I need Todd Monken to do. Survive in advance. Play the Philadelphia Eagles way. You know, just play conservatively. Don't put him out there to get hit constantly. The Browns have nothing to lose. They have Myles Garrett out there. He's fully healthy. He's been terrorizing everybody this year. He could, you know, lay a hit in the pocket on Lamar Jackson. I want them to hopefully give the ball to Derrick Henry, even though it's a good rush defense they're going up against. Give the ball to Derrick Henry and see if he can take over the game, because I'm worried about Lamar. He seems fragile. He seems like he's one hit away from missing a couple more weeks. I'm worried about this game on the road against the Browns and that Browns defense laying some hits on him that will keep him out and, you know, probably put the Steelers in the driver's seat to win that division. But we'll see. We'll see coming up this weekend. But he is a full go. He's ready to go. The Bears have finally activated the 21-day practice window for Jalen Johnson, their all-pro corner. So he's finally going to return. that will help their defense dramatically. Now, they're middle of the pack in pass defense. They're not horrible. They're middle of the pack in just about every metric. But they're sitting there at 6-3, and they're getting reinforcements. I have enjoyed what I've seen from Caleb Williams so far this year. I've enjoyed seeing Ben Johnson sort of coach him into being an every down quarterback instead of trying to just get off platform and make these plays, rolling out to the right, you know, using his legs too much. But this Bears team, I don't think they're going to make any noise if they get to the playoffs. But I think Bears fans just want to get to the playoffs, and they want to see a 4,000-yard passer. And they have paced the season well. It's weird to see people around the NFL, people that talk about this, national people, it doesn't seem like they're giving them their due. I mean, am I crazy for thinking that, Connor?
No, I don't think you're crazy for thinking that. I also don't think that people are crazy for being hesitant to give them their due because it's the Bears.
Yeah, but it is kind of funny. They're 6-3. I believe in Caleb Williams. He's good, not great yet.
Right.
There was a throw last week where it's like, dude, just step up in the pocket, one hitch. Your O-line held up and hit DJ Moore right in his chest on a deep post with no safety help over top. They beat a cover two. But he decided to break the pocket, sling it on the sideline to DJ Moore, and of course he dropped it. You know, they didn't complete that. That was an easy one to complete. He made it harder than it needed to be. But this Bears team, they're so close. They're so close, in my opinion.
Well, they've gotten to the point to where they will beat bad teams. They're going to beat the teams that they're supposed to. Can they beat the good football teams? Can they, you know, because we're about to see Vikings, Steelers, Eagles, Packers coming up. I feel like we're going to...
They owe the Vikings one.
We're going to really figure out what they are.
Yeah, yeah. Some decent defenses coming up.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't get confused like he did game one against the Vikings with Brian Flores. Don't get caught in the same traps. Ben Johnson gives you the answers to the test before you even take it. So just trust your coaching and stop with all the off-platform stuff. He doesn't need to do it. It's so frustrating. But what I meant to say about the Bears, they're 6-3. I believe in them to potentially break through, but I don't buy them as a team that is going to make noise if they get a wild card spot or if they get into the playoffs. They're just not that type of team to me yet. Even though they have shown that they can beat some solid NFL football teams. They need to get back healthy, man. We haven't talked about the Bucs in a minute. They've left my top five NFL power rankings every week. Still believe in Baker. Still believe in that organization. They stop the run really well. Good defense. And they are actually a scary team, even though they haven't played up to their potential the past couple weeks. They are a scary team. If they do get into the playoffs, we've seen that multiple times, and they likely will because their division's no good. But Bucky Irving's been out, and he's going to be out this weekend, and Chris Godwin is out. And what they listed for Chris Godwin is fibula. Does that mean it's broken? Like, what are we talking about here? They just need their weapons back. They need Baker to have more than one option on any given weekend. But that Bucs team, it feels like we forgot about them. It feels like we've sort of left them to the side with all of these injuries at the moment. Have you seen the stories about Dan Campbell calling offense for the Lions?
No.
So he is their play caller. He's their main play caller. And week one, because it's kind of funny, when he got the job, he's a tight ends coach all time. Yeah, of course, tight ends coach, assistants, they help with game planning, but he was never a play caller. And people really went after the Lions for that. So you brought in a tight end coach, you're just clearly trying to go for culture. We've seen it's worked out, but Dan Campbell didn't have that bag. Like, that's something that was a dock. It was a problem on his name when he got the job ultimately. But he called plays last week, and the Lions hung 44 on the Commanders. Probably could have scored 50. That's their second highest point total behind week two against the Bears when they scored 52. But what I noticed was there's a consistency to what Dan Campbell was trying to do. And this shouldn't surprise anybody. Ran the ball very, very well. Differentiated schemes. They ran for 226, average of 6.8 and 2 touchdowns. If they can continue to get that out of their offensive line and their running backs, that 1-2 punch of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, they are, in my opinion, the favorite in the NFC because their defense has been a whole lot better this year, in my opinion. Kelvin Shepard, new DC after Aaron Glenn went to the Jets, has them playing some of the best football I have seen in the Dan Campbell era. But Dan Campbell, you know, like, he is showing his value every week. Now, granted, you know, he game plans with his OC. He game plans with the entire offensive staff. You have your play sheet. But, you know, there's a couple times last week, I think there was a touchdown that was thrown from Jared Goff to Jameson Williams, and he was fist pumping before the play actually got snapped because he knew it was going to be a touchdown. So Dan Campbell adding play calling to his bag, offensive game planning to his bag, that's scary, man, because I think one of the biggest problems for him, the biggest thing that he gets docked for is not being that offensive whiz kid, that offensive guru. He hires people to do that. You know, he doesn't get the same name, even though he's done a great job with the Lions, doesn't get the same name as Sean McVay, doesn't get the Kyle Shanahan love, doesn't get the Kevin O'Connell love, the Matt LaFleur love. Well, now I hope we give him that love because he is taking over as the offensive play caller. Game one, 44 points against a Commanders defense. It's not great, but solid, you know. So I just wanted to point that out. Love Dan Campbell. Love those Lions.
The Shield.
Okay. Gambling memo came out yesterday. Did you see any of this?
I did.
They're, because of everything that's happening, and today we even had, what was it, an NCAA bust with a crime family.
14 people.
Yeah. 14 people. They didn't name any athletes, though, so I don't know if athletes are caught up in it. But that happened. With all of these issues that we have seen, Major League Baseball with Emmanuel Clase, Luis Ortiz, NBA with Terry Rozier, Chauncey Billups, all that, the NFL is trying to get out ahead of the problem. And they put out a memo saying they're going to limit on all the sports books, prop bets. And I have the list here, part of the memo, prohibited wager categories. The first one is inherently objectionable. Markets are bets that are inherently or designed to be derogatory, inflammatory, or otherwise based on subject matter against public policy. So injuries, fan safety, misconduct. Offshore books, is that where you bet on that? I have no idea where you bet on injuries, player injuries. Officiating related.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So markets or bets based on officials or officiating, I don't know where you can bet on that. Determinable by one person in one play, so based on outcomes. 100% determinable by one person or one play. A kicker to miss a field goal attempt, quarterback's first pass to be incomplete, like that. You're trying to get, you know, you see the Luis Ortiz, Emmanuel Clase betting on pitches, rigging pitches. That would be one that you need to get ahead of. Again, I really don't know where you can bet on that. Some people have their offshore books. It is what it is. And the final one, predetermined. Predetermined outcomes directly related to on-field competition. Will a quarterback start this week? I feel like this goes with the injuries. Will a team's first play from scrimmage be a run or a pass? That is available, absolutely, on FanDuel, BetMGM, you know, Caesar Sportsbook. So they're trying to get ahead of it. I don't know what they know. You know, they put out this memo because all the other leagues are getting caught up. Is there something that they're not telling us behind the scenes about the NFL? I know we had the Jameson Williams thing where he got suspended for 6 games for literally just betting on other professional sports on the campus ground or the facility ground for the Lions. That was last year. But is there something else that they're not telling us with all these banned bets? Because some of these, I don't even know where you can bet on them. Like, if they heard about them from people within their league, what is this? I do appreciate Roger Goodell and the NFL office trying to get ahead of it, but some of these things, I don't even know were possible. So let's go ahead and grab a break. That is a trip around the National Football League. Hour number two is on the way, and we're going to lead it off talking some college football, some Week 12. We have some good matchups coming up this weekend, and one particular in the SEC that I'm paying attention to. But David Cobb from CBS Sports is next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.